tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Thanks, Pat. Welcome back to Tip Today. Now, Tip FM's Amy Ryan was out and about for us to gauge the reaction out there among Tipperary people to the notion of a Christmas election.
Well, I really think that time of the year is too busy for everybody. They're up to 90 doing all other jobs. The one thing they really don't need is to be going to a polling station trying to pick another government. I just think it's the wrong time of the year. Hold it off into the new year or something else, and I think it'll be better.
Well, I just met a member of the public there now, and he's just told me there that he doesn't want anyone calling between this and Christmas, and he won't be entertaining or answering them, you know. And I probably have the same feeling myself, you know. Thing too, what they need to do is root out Francis Fitzgerald now and move on with it, you know. We're in with homelessness there, especially in Clonmel, and with the issues with the Gardaí and all that, there's a lot more business to be taken care of between this and Christmas without elections, you know. People haven't time, people aren't able, and people don't need it, you know.
I think it's a good time to have an election. I mean, people won't come out, they won't answer their doors in the cold, and anyway, what difference will it make? We'll probably end up with the same parties back again.
I wouldn't like it at all. I think it's too near Christmas and people are too busy, so I think it wouldn't work.
It wouldn't bother me, really, but politics and the political parties, I don't know, I don't even know that they know what they're doing themselves, like, to be honest with you. I don't think there'll be any change, really, if there is an election. I think it'll be more or less the same as what it is now. But I don't think there will be an election myself, anyway. I think Francis Fitzgerald will resign. That's my own personal opinion, like, you know. But if there is, there is, and there's nothing we can do about it.
I wouldn't like to have a general election before Christmas. I'd rather have one in maybe January or February. And I think Francis Fitzgerald should go.
I think it's absolutely crazy. You know, I mean, nobody wants a vote at this time of the year, you know. There's enough people homeless and enough people looking for houses and, you know, there's terrible situations out there. So I don't know, it's crazy, absolutely crazy.
Ridiculous. You shouldn't have a general election and the country as it is. And you know, before Christmas, people are trying to get on their own business. Shouldn't have it. Simple as that. No way.
Tip FM's Amy Ryan out and about for us, getting the reaction of Tipperary people to the notion of an election. You want to get in on that? 1800 938 007. You can text on 083 311 3311. Josie is online with me now. Good morning to you, Josie.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you today. Tell me about your situation, Josie. You have issues with your home.
Yes. I have central heating in the house, and it broke down for a couple of months now. And I rang the council, and they said that I have to get the boiler servers. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, you know, I can't for the money. And what I'm going to say here now is the house is freezing. You know, there's no heating anywhere. I've got a fire in the sitting room. But like, I can't even have a shower, and I've been freezing to get out of the bed in the morning. You know, it's so cold.
And you have no central heating at all at the moment? Not working at all?
No, nothing at all.
And no. It is a council house, Josie?
It is, yes, it's a council house, yeah.
Right. And what are they saying to you? Are they saying that they won't help you with this?
No, they're telling me to get the boiler servers.
Right.
And like, you know, I was talking to the councilman yesterday, and I told him, and he said, no, that's up to the council. But when I ring, you know, they tell me I have to get the boiler servers. I said, well, I can't afford to get a plumber or whatever it is, you know, to service my time. And I mean, there's a hospital, you know, under the doctor's care, osteoporosis and all that. I don't be well.
And are you living on your own?
I am. I live on my own.
Right. And you're on a pension, Josie, is that it?
I am.
Right.
Yeah.
So, are you finding it hard to make ends meet at the best of times?
Oh, God, I am, yeah. Like, I have a coal fire in the sitting room, but that's just the sitting room. It's one big sitting room, you know,
heat
up. And the price of coal and everything, I just can't keep it up.
Right.
You know.
But obviously that fire isn't heating your rooms or anything.
No.
Right. And were due a a cold snap, as they call it, over the next few weeks. It's going to get worse?
Yes, yes, the weather's going to get worse. And, like, you know, it's cold at the minute, like, you know. And I can tell you, I have the flu now, you know.
Right.
And I'm sitting here with a blanket on me in the sitting room, you know.
So you have a blanket around you trying to stay warm?
I have. And I have to bring a hot water bottle into the bed with me.
How much would it cost you to get the boiler looked at?
Well, that I don't know. Like, you know, they say 50 euros, but, like, I think it's up to the council. It's council property.
Well, I know that there's that small writing on your rent books that says that quite a lot of the household stuff is down to yourselves to look after. But I know that they have some sort of a leeway on that if they feel that it's necessary.
Mm-hmm. This is the problem. Yeah. Now we have to pay for everything in the house, you know. And I mean, how can they expect an old age pensioner to fix a door or anything, you know, because nobody will do nothing to pay for you. You know, and if they do, you have to pay money, and, you know, things go wrong in my house, and I just have to leave them because I can't afford people to fix them, you know, like saying doors won't close and all that thing.
Have you spoken to any of the councillors or any of the local representatives?
Not the local representatives now, no, because I spoke to the council. I'm ringing them all week. Okay. And ask them to come out, you know, and the same story, you have to get your boiler service, you know.
And you're in the Feathert area?
I am, yes.
Right. Okay. Well, let's see, because I know that they listen to us all the time, all the representatives, so possibly somebody will get on to us and say that they'll look into this and see if something can be done for you. Would that be okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
And hopefully that will work out. Can I ask you something, Josie? Because you're typical of people who are out there just trying to get by. Do you care much about what's happening with politics at the moment?
Well, no, not really. No, because, you know, we all have a life to live, and I don't follow politics or anything like that, you know. So,
right, because it doesn't
The man said they're coming up to Christmas. It's a bad time, you know.
Yeah, you wouldn't like to see an election at that time?
No, not really. I mean, people have enough to do. Like.
The only thing is, I'll bet you'd get your boiler fixed.
I hope so.
Because they'd be looking for your vote.
Yes, I know that.
So there might be that to it as well. Listen, Josie, it was good to talk to you. Let's see what we can do, and let's see if we can get somebody to help you. Is that okay?
Thanks very much.
Lovely to talk to you today. Bye-bye to you now. That's Josie in Feathert. What do you think about that? I mean, there's a lady who's of pension age and beyond with a blanket around her now, just trying to stay warm in a house because she can't get any help. And you see, this is the basic stuff that's out there. This is the basic stuff on the ground. While we're you know, we're at fault ourselves. We've been discussing the finer points of a political crisis or a political row for the last few days on the programme. But does that really matter to people who are struggling to get by? And in fairness to Maurice McCabe, do they care? Or do people even have a full understanding of what all of this nonsense is all about? I wonder.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
And you're very welcome back to TIP Today, 1800 938 007. Now, Rotary Club Clonmel is supporting a number of Christmas events, all in aid of charity. And to tell us more, I'm joined in the studio by the president of Clonmel Rotary, Brendan Nyan, is with me, and also Mary O'Keefe from Larry O'Keefe's. And you're both very, very welcome indeed. Can I go to you first, Brendan? Would you give us a bit of an overview? Because there's several different events happening, isn't that fair to say?
There is, Brian, and thanks again for the opportunity of being able to come in and let people know about them, I suppose. Like, Rotary Clonmel is a voluntary organisation. We support local charities in the main, and Christmas is a very busy time of the year, and as we were chatting there earlier, it's a time of the year, I think, when people do think of charitable events and areas that they could contribute to the community in. So starting this Wednesday night, we have our Christmas night in Raheen. It's an annual event. It's a cookery demonstration. Or in theory, that's what it is. Anyway, it tends to turn into a very fun night with Jenny Flynn and PJ Fagan. This year, it's based around sweet and savoury afternoon tea But based on the supplies I've seen, Prosecco is going to form a pretty serious part of the night.
Very good.
But it's for a very good cause. It's for the soup kitchen. We got involved with them this year. They're doing absolutely Trojan work. And I think certainly with the cold of late, it turns everyone's mind to the people who are unfortunate enough not to have a place to stay.
I'm delighted to hear you're getting involved with them, because we do as much as we can for them as well. I think they're fantastic.
Absolutely. I have a great time for them. Yeah. We've donated money already, and the proceeds from Wednesday night will go totally to them. They're looking for money to refurbish their kitchen, and their van always needs maintenance and such. And also, actually, we've been involved with them with Dignity Bags, another charity whereby bags of toiletries are filled and given out, and that's another area. So I think it's the whole homeless area is a very difficult one, but we try and do the best we can for them.
Very good.
So that's where Wednesday night is. It's a great night. There's a couple of tickets left if anyone's interested. Office Supplies, Teresa O'Loughlin will have them, but it's almost sold out. But it's a very good night for €25, and as I say, the Prosecco will be flowing. And
very good indeed. All right. Your Remembrance Tree as well, is that part of what you're
doing? The Remembrance Tree is another big one of our main annual events. I think people from Clonmel and the locality will be very familiar with it. We have three trees this year, and two Duns on O'Connell Street. And I think people will be familiar with the red and white ribbons. It gives people the opportunity to remember a loved one who's passed. Mm. You write a name on a ribbon, you make a donation, and all the money goes to the hospice, and it's the local hospice. So every penny, the great thing about Rotary is we have no fees, we have no charges. Everything we collect gets handed over direct, and all that money goes to the hospice.
Right, there's no CEOs on huge sums of money around.
It's purely voluntary.
So that's from the 18th of December,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly, for 5 days, yeah. So it can finish. So it's in Duns Oakville, Duns on Davis Road, and we'll have the tree in O'Connell Street as well.
Right, very good. I know that culminates in a special mass, doesn't it?
Yes, we have a mass on the 31st then, where all the ribbons with the names on them are actually brought in front of the altar, and the prayers are said, and everybody's welcome to it. So
lovely. It's a lovely where you're concerned, Mary, the business at the Regal Centre in Clonmel involved in all sorts of stuff too?
Yeah, that's it, Fran. We were just having a chat one day in the office, and we were saying it would be nice for businesses or local businesses at the Regal Centre to try and give back something to the community this time of the year. So just threw a few ideas together, and you can hear Brendan and the work that Rotary do. We felt that it would be a good organisation to team up with. So just basically, Larry O'Keefe's Furniture, Pet Planet, Red Nose Wine, Tangle Jarns, Craft and Wool, and Yesterday's World, the Antiques, have come together for the weekend of the 8th of December. So the 8th, the 9th, the 10th, and we've committed to pledge a donation to Rotary based on sales. And so Larry O'Keefe will say, for example, a donation will be made for part of every sale on the day. We will donate to Rotary, and then Rotary will see fit on how to best distribute the fundraising funds to, say, the likes of hospice, the soup kitchen, St Vincent de Paul's. And just personally, we feel that we can see a pickup, and we've had a good year, and we've been very well supported locally, which we much appreciate, and it's just a time for us to give back to the community.
Very good
and
indeed.
Support the local charities here.
We're talking as well, I suppose, all morning, Brendan, and indeed last week as well, about the whole business of politics. Now, people will know of your dad and him being mayor of Clonmel, in fact, back in the 70s, I think.
Yeah, 70s and 80s, yeah, he was mayor three times.
Yeah, your take on what's happening, because I know you're a political person in terms of looking on anyway.
Yeah, it's madness. I can't see but that saying our heads will see fit today or tomorrow to fix it. It's, I said, to be purely non-political about it, anybody looking in will say, why would we be having an election over... the issue itself is important, I will give it there, and there needs to be reform in the Department of Justice. I think everybody who's read anything will agree with me there, but it doesn't need an election, and certainly when we're in Brexit and the amount of people homeless is rising all the time, we have a lot more important stuff to be worried about.
And this is what you're seeing in Rotary,
about
what really is happening out there on the ground.
I mean, I know the polls are given mixed opinions, but I think if you canvass anybody on the street, you'll get your answer pretty straight around here as to what's important and what isn't, and an election over this isn't important.
Well, Amy Ryan went out and she did a vox pop for us, and really it's saying, no, madness, completely. I'm wondering from a retail point of view as well, Mary, how would an election thrown into the middle of stuff coming up to Christmas, how would that affect...
I suppose, Fran, anything that'll disrupt kind of consumer sector.
Yeah.
echoing Brendan's, it's an important issue, but with Brexit and everything, it's kind of an unknown territory at the moment, yeah, with us, you could say, importing and exporting and retailers in general. It's probably something I wouldn't like to take a risk on this time of the year. I suppose everybody needs it. This is probably the boom time for a lot of businesses, but we'll just have to wait and see how the next day or two pans out.
Very good. It'll be interesting. How does Black Friday work out for retail as well, Mary? How does that?
I would think the last few years, we got caught a couple of years ago on this Black Friday phenomenon, yeah, and we've prepared ourselves for it now. Anything that's a boost is important. I would see maybe the sales coming up to Christmas and the January sales is a bigger event for us than the Black Friday. But we had a good weekend.
I'm just wondering how difficult it is on retail, though, because you have sort of reduction after reduction after reduction, if you know what I mean. You have your Black Friday sale, you have your January sale coming up to Christmas nowadays.
I know, and you don't want to be constantly in sale. I suppose we work on probably to try and get the best value we can for our customers throughout the year, but that we can go into sale mode at specific times. So we've been negotiating a lot with our suppliers and trying to pass on the best deal we can and try and work on volume as opposed to more than margin and to try and get the best value.
Black Friday, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's not too bad. Just be prepared for it and have the offers there for customers.
I suppose, which is there. Just to remind people again, just briefly then, in terms of what's coming up for Rotary then, Brendan, you have your Raheen House Christmas night.
This Wednesday.
Some tickets available?
Some tickets available, and I said if the Clonmel Office Centre, probably Teresa Loughlin's the best bet at this stage, or anybody in Rotary, I know there are a few left, but it's almost sold out. And it sells out every year. It's a word of mouth. Sales are brilliant for it, so it's very good. We obviously have the event, which is a new event in Clonmel with the
Regal Centre businesses
and the Regal Centre businesses, mm-hmm, and then the Remembrance Tree, I suppose. But that's the Remembrance Tree. You will see it. It's a very visual. And I said, but take the opportunity. It's a donation of any amount. In fact, we have quite a few people who don't contribute, aren't in a position, I suppose, to make a generous donation. But it's the fact of being able to remember your loved ones at this time of the year. I had a lovely story last year where I met somebody, and they said the ribbon on the tree now is their new wreath in the graveyard. I suppose they consider it part of the yearly.
It's a lovely story, it's a nice idea, and it's a great cause,
obviously.
And just finally, Brendan, we're hearing about growth in the economy. We're hearing about the fastest growing economy in Europe. All of this sort of stuff going on. What are you seeing on the ground where Rotary is concerned? Are people still needing you?
People
badly?
Still need us. We Rotary have, we're unusual in the sense that we work with individuals, we work with groups, we work with schools, we work with we would see it from a lot of angles and facets of community. Some areas of society are definitely doing better. There's definitely a certain, I don't know, would you call it a buzz, but there's an uplift in the last, I think, year. You'll see it around, you'll see it with cars, you'll see whatever. But there's a whole slew of people who it's bypassing, and they're the people we're trying to engage with as well. You still see it with schools that are disadvantaged, who need money, who need help with outings. Yeah. We have one in coming up in November where we're treating 50 children to a game of bowls and a Supermax meal. They're not huge events, but they're nice and they're done, and everything that you can contribute back into the community is great, and there's still an awful lot of people out there that need help.
All right, Brendan, good to see you today. Mary, my best to your dad. Lovely to see you today
thanks very much indeed.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
Welcome back to Tip Today, 1800-938-007. Trudy, you've been looking through our text and you've been getting lots of calls.
Lots and lots of reaction. Yeah. Politics, politics, politics. Yeah. Brian Saunders and Sean Tracy Avenue in Thurles got in touch to say, love the way politicians say we don't want an election. They're afraid of what the public will do. I hope we do have an election and get rid of the worst government ever. And he lists off homelessness, health, the list is endless. Another caller says, give us an election, getting more independence. While another regular texter says he doesn't know what to say, but corruption at the highest order in this country. Get rid of the politicians, simple as. Noel says, the thing that amuses me is that the nub of everything is Maurice McCabe, a whistleblower who blew the whistle about something we already knew about already. Am I missing something? Rhea Francis Fitzgerald, another caller, thinks all politicians are a joke. If they don't work well, they can resign with a big pension. And if you don't do your job well, you'll get the road. load, but you would be able to get a big pension with it? No. Being made resign is an easier option. Let her be accountable or not get her pension. And then Brian Fitzgerald got in contact to say that Frances Fitzgerald's position is untenable, but Fianna Fáil are using this for political point scoring. They have basically ripped up the supply and confidence agreement by calling for a motion of no confidence in the minister. The government has no idea of the real issues affecting the people, real issues such as homelessness, housing, etc. They're all being steamrolled over for party politics. Then Tommy got in touch to say, yes, Fran, you're right. There's problems out there like homelessness, while we have all this nonsense about the general election. Yet the country is saturated with Mercs, BMWs, Audi elite cars. Interesting, said Tommy. Then in relation to Josie and Feathered, several callers now getting in touch there regarding the situation with her. Some saying that they can't help, but surely somebody out there can help. And Fran, can you do a shout out for someone out there to help? Brendan and Ross Gray got in contact to say, Fran, what kind of a country are we becoming? When you hear that a lady is freezing with the cold, we have four clowns of TDs who wanted to go to North Korea on a peace mission. What a joke. The Koreans don't even know where Ireland is. Then John got in contact from Stove and Fireplace Fitters in Cashel, and he said, give me Josie's details, Fran, and he'll fix it for her. So John has that offer in there. And also then the Cathaoirleach of the Carrick-on-Shore Municipal District, Councillor John Fahey, got in contact, and he also said that he'd take up Josie's case. So I'll pass on her details to him on that. Just a few more general comments, Fran. Councillors are gone to a certain footpath. Oh, people are giving up footbaths in Temple Moor and not cleaning up the streets and rubbish in the same area for the last 6 weeks. It's something we've raised before. It's something we'll address again, but not today. Another one here, it's in relation to a fundraiser, wondering if anyone out there can help out. They're having a fundraiser, including a Wheel of Fortune, but they're struggling to get their hands on a wheel. So any listeners out there, if you have a Wheel of Fortune wheel, they could you pass it on to them? And it's for Barsacane Athletic Club, and John O'Farrell is the chairperson's name there. And if you have a Wheel of Fortune, get in contact with us and we'll get in contact with him.
All right, Trudy, thank you very much indeed for that. And we will announce the winner of that €50 voucher as well for Pamela Scott in Nina in just a little while. But do stay texting 083 311 3311. Johnny Purcell is online with me. Good morning to you, Johnny.
Good morning, Fran. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Johnny, your thoughts on the political crisis, as they're calling it now?
Well, my thoughts on the first thoughts on the whole lot is that Fianna Fáil are jumping on the bandwagon now, because they knew that Sinn Féin was going to table a motion, and rather than the Sinn Féiners doing that, they said they get in first. But they're doing nothing about it, because all these politicians know exactly what's going on. And the people to blame, rather than the politicians, in my mind, are the senior civil servants, because they're shooting the politicians, because the politicians have nothing between their ears. They don't know what's going on.
And do you really believe that?
I do, yeah. I'm a firm believer that the senior people in all these different quangos, or whatever you want to call them, are to blame. Their advisors, they're advising nothing. And they're getting more money than the politicians are.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I heard a discussion over the weekend, Johnny, about that when a minister is put into a department, that, you know, that unless that they're a very, very hard worker to get to grips with that particular portfolio, they will be roughshod over by the senior civil servants.
Oh, they will, yeah. There's no doubt whatsoever about that. There's none whatsoever. And thank God, judging by what we're hearing about all this crack with Maurice McCabe and all that, that poor old liver has been wrong to the last, and eventually he's going to come out with a golden handshake, and fair play to him for that. He's
right, but look at the damage that was done over years to him, you know?
Oh, yeah, there's nothing will change that. Yeah. That damage can never be changed, you know?
Yeah.
But this poor old whore, he has it hanging over his head for the rest of his life.
And there is that too. Do you think Frances Fitzgerald should have stepped down first thing?
Oh, without a doubt. Listen, she knew. She was, when she was in justice, she knew what was going on with Noreen O'Sullivan. So they decided to get rid of Noreen O'Sullivan and give her £150,000 a year job to keep her quiet. That was all known.
Well, they'll tell you they didn't have the given of that particular job. But, I mean, that's not what you believe, obviously.
No, it is these advisors to all these different politicians are the culprits, in my mind.
What do you think is going to happen, Johnny? Well, do you think there will be a Christmas election?
I think she's going to step down.
Do you think so?
Because she's got to save for Ratcliffe, you know.
Mm.
And it isn't, but if they did an election come in the morning, I think Fine Gael would go back in stronger.
Do you think so?
I think so, because I can't see Fianna Fáil would have to offer.
So who would lose out then? Are you talking about the independents losing out?
I think some of the independents would lose out and Fianna Fáil would lose a certain amount.
Just a certain amount?
Yeah, they'd lose a certain amount of seats.
Right, even though it would be seen to some people that they're the people bringing the government to account.
The only reason they're bringing the government to account is because they didn't want Sinn Féin to get the honour of doing it.
You sound very cynical about it all, John.
Well, I always am. Yeah. And I'd want a rusty knife to cut their throats.
you've no time for them at all.
No, because I think one is more corrupt than the other.
I mean, we were talking to Josie there a while ago. She's a pensioner. She's living in a house in Feather. She's cold. She has a blanket around her because she doesn't have... And that's the reality, isn't it?
But this is the sad part about it, Fran.
Yeah.
The people who need it most aren't getting it.
Yeah.
Now, Frances Fitzgerald has stepped down with a big handshake. Yeah. If she goes as well, you know, because she'd be a good girl and do what she's told. But there's poor old Josie and she's perishing.
Yeah.
You know, and... Josie isn't the only one.
Yeah.
There's many more like Josie.
There's certainly an awful lot of people out there who are perishing, as you say, and they're not benefiting from this upsurge in the economy that we keep hearing about.
I don't see any upsurge around Turles anyway.
All right. Well, you think that sense will prevail? You think that Frances Fitzgerald will step down in some fashion? Is that it?
It'll be a last minute jump.
Yeah.
And she'll be gone. And the person that'll take over from her will probably be as bad as her. But she knew Noreen O'Sullivan was doing when she was in justice. And why didn't she do something about it?
Well, she said that there was legal constraint there, that the advice was that legally she couldn't put her oar in there.
That's a load of bull. If you were caught doing something wrong in Tip FM, wouldn't you be gone?
Oh, listen, wouldn't they love a chance to
get rid of you?
You'd be surprised at how right you might be about that. Listen, Johnny, it's always a pleasure. Look after yourself, won't you?
No problem.
Take care. Bye-bye to you. That's the great Johnny Purcell there and his thoughts on what's happening. 'Twas How We Looked is a new book looking at the history of the people and places of Mid-Tipperary. It's been launched in Drumban Hall this coming weekend. And to tell us more, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio now by Tom Quinlan. Good morning to you, Tom.
Good morning, Fran.
Tell me about this publication. That's what it's called, isn't it? 'Twas How We Looked.
It is. 'Twas How We Looked is the name of the book because I suppose they're all historical photographs, even the people that we've taken photographs that are alive now. In another 20 or 30 years, they'll all be historical photographs. So it'll all be in the past tense, I suppose.
And about 2,500 photographs?
Yes, Fran, 2,500 photographs. We actually collected about 5,500 photographs. We got an unbelievable response from the community, from the parish, and even people outside the parish. So we were delighted with that. We were a little bit afraid, I suppose. You would be a little bit fearful starting off that what kind of response we'd get, we needn't have worried. You know, people can definitely, the community came up trumps.
Very, very good. The catchment area you're talking about is what exactly?
Well, it's called the Upper Church Drumban Community Album, but it's more or less the parish of Upper Church Drumban and maybe a little bit surrounding areas. But we also got a lot of photographs from people who would be originally from the parish, and they gave us tremendous support and really wanted to be a part of it as well, you know.
Now, you were kind enough to send us a preview of some of the photographs. My favourite, now, I haven't seen them all, but my favourite is Sonny John. I think that's just a marvellous photograph. Who was Sonny John, or do you know?
I do know, because I lived quite near him at home.
Yeah.
Sonny John Phelan was his name, and He lived actually in a very humble, I suppose, house or abode, a one-roomed house he lived in. It was originally two rooms, but unfortunately one room had fallen, and it was a far removed from the Celtic Tiger. You know, there's houses near it now, and they're about 20 times the size of it. But he was a character in his time, and I barely remember him, and I was very interested in that photograph when I saw it first.
Beautiful
because
photograph.
It brought back memories.
Yeah, and the bike as well, you know, it's also evocative of the time.
He never drove a car, and the bike was his mode of transport, you know.
Was he a farmer, or was he?
He wasn't. He lived on his own, and he lived in what we call a cottage, I suppose, and he maybe worked a little bit for people around locally, and... he very, very humble, life, I suppose.
But the photograph is fantastic. I also didn't know there was an Upper Church Kelly band. A wonderful photograph of the Kelly band there.
There is a nice photograph. Yeah, I would have heard lots about the Kelly band, and there was a strong, very strong tradition of Kelly music in the parish. And that's a lovely photograph. It's an old photograph now, and I think, to the best of my knowledge, there's only one person still alive in that photograph. But what's also interesting in that photograph is, if you look under, that's under the Upper Church stage, the stage in Upper Church Hall, and under the stage you have a battery.
Which is running the amplifier.
So it's not all about the people in the photographs. There's other stories being told as well.
Fantastic. And I was going to point that out. I was fascinated at that, as one of these battery-driven amplifiers. That must be from the late 40s, 50s, I'd say, is it?
I think that photograph could be about 60 years old, roughly speaking.
Fantastic. What about favourites you might have yourself, Tom, in the book?
It's hard to pick out, really, with 2,500, with that huge volume of photographs. But I suppose photographs that would have been from my area. I'm from the Metal Bridge, and that photograph of Sonny John was taken at the Metal Bridge, and the house that's in the background is right beside our house.
Was that a shop, the house in the background?
There was two shops. We had a shop, and the house in the background was a shop, and there was a little stream running down by the shop, and I would remember actually, you know, going to the bank of that stream, and that was my first introduction to nature, you know. So it's not about just about the individuals that's in the photograph. And when we set out, I suppose, at the start, we talked about maybe getting the people in the photograph. And then, you know, we decided then we wouldn't crop photographs because there's so much other information along with the people in the photographs.
I think you were dead right. Sport would have to play a part in any book on Upper Church Drum Band, wouldn't it?
It would. We haven't a lot of sport photographs because we kind of decided the hurling club, I think, are in the process of coming up with their own history. So we didn't want to get in their way. But having said that, there was two huge achievements within the parish during the time we were collecting the photographs. One of them would have been our All-Ireland win in 2016. We had an unprecedented, I suppose, influence on that, with Michael Ryan, James Barry, Michael Burke was our chairman, and John Hayes was the kit manager. So we had a big part to play in that, and we're very proud of that. So we couldn't not put a photograph, and we have a photograph of the homecoming, and we have a photograph of the four individuals. And also, you probably heard about it, Peter Ryan is from Drumbane.
Sure.
And he took part in the Paralympics in Rio. So we've...
And those, that great send-off.
We have a photograph, a send-off and a homecoming to do with sporting achievements.
Well, it's a very special book. I'm actually looking at the book itself. It's beautifully bound and put together as well. I presume this would make a great Christmas present, wouldn't it? Particularly for people overseas.
Without a doubt. And we were delighted to have it ready for, the Christmas period. And definitely would, because there's a huge interest in it from people outside the parish. And as you said, people, whether it be in England or the USA, and we've had lots of inquiries. And we have, we're in the process of setting up an online. We're working with a company in Thurles, and we'll be able to sell the books online. So if anyone wants to look at that, they can go into the upperchurch.ie website, and the details will be included in there.
Right. Well, listen, it's a fantastic book, but I can only imagine about the huge amount of work that went into the production of it, Tom. It must have been incredible, you know?
A huge volume of work went into it. I suppose when we started out rather naively, we thought maybe We'd have it ready to go within 6 months, but it took 2 years. This started in January of 2016, so definitely a massive amount of work. And, you know, I must give credit to, I suppose, Eugene Short is the driving force behind the book, and the rest of the committee as well. Everyone put in huge work into it, and there's a lot of thanks due to those people.
Great. I presume one of the big concerns and difficulties is what you leave out as opposed to what you put in, even, you know, because you're getting so much stuff in.
It is a worry, all right, and there was long hours went into actually, you know, deciding
yeah,
what we tried to have a photograph of everyone in the parish, and also we have a lot of photographs of people unfortunately that passed away, and at least one photograph of everyone that we got, that, you know, so at least, you know, but it's very hard to keep everyone happy all the time, as you well know, Fran.
Oh God, do I know. I could write a separate book on that. Listen, it's a beautiful, beautiful idea, and well done to everybody involved. The book is called "'Twas How We Looked." I'm also delighted to see that Upper Church is even nationally becoming renowned as a walking destination, which is fantastic, Tom.
It is, Fran. We had a walking festival only two weeks ago there around the 12th of November, and it's huge success as well. Yeah. And I was doing a bit of stewarding myself on it, but
were you? Yeah, I was.
And it's great to see people coming from far and near and enjoying the experience, and it puts, I suppose, the parish to the fore, you know.
Yeah, it certainly has put it on the map nationally as a place for walking.
It has, definitely.
So the outlets again, then, if people want to run and buy this, pretty much immediately, can you buy it?
We're launching the book next Saturday night in Drumbane Hall at 7:45 p.m. and the books will be for sale on the night. Also, we have them for sale in the local shops at Dwyer's and Ryan's and Drumbane Co-op, and in three shops in Thurles, Scanlan's, Bookworm, and Easton's.
In the shopping centre. Yes. There. All right. Listen, well done to yourself and everybody involved, Tom. Yes.
Just one more thing. Yes. I was asked by my parish priest at the sale of work yesterday to give a plug to the Father Liam Lawton concert is on the Saturday night after our launch on December the 9th in Upper Church Hall.
Oh, very
and tickets
good.
Are 20 euros. And I'm told that you're guaranteed a great night.
Oh, you certainly are. Liam Lawton is fantastic. All right. Good to see you, Tom. Thanks very much, Fran.
The
book is called 'Twas How We Looked, and we'd highly recommend it to you.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call Tip today on 1-800-938-007.
Margaret Kinahan of Bridgetown is the winner of a €50 voucher for Pamela Scott's brand new store in Nina. We'll give you another opportunity to win a €50 voucher on the programme tomorrow. Now, Trudy Walters is producing. She's back with me. Trudy, before we have a look at what's coming in on text for a final time, can you give us whatever update you have on the bingo situation? Because we have a lot of queries about that today.
We do. We have a lot of queries. Now, I have to say to people, we're as much in the dark as you are, and we'll give you what we actually know. So basically, to all of our bingo players, unfortunately, these are reasons beyond our control. The bingo will cease on the station this coming Friday. That's the 1st of December. That's week 48. And, you know, when circumstances change, we'll let you know. Basically, we're trying to find answers from the company on who run the bingo. So it's not just us. This is every local radio station that's running this bingo service is affected by this. We have no control over the finances. We don't handle money, so money doesn't come into us. This has nothing to do with us. So the company has said that they will honour all the winnings up to this weekend, but after that, the company is gone. And just to let people know, 14 people have lost their jobs because of this. So, you know, we've been constantly trying to get answers on this. We will continue to do likewise. As I said, Tip FM, along with all the other radio stations, are in the exact same position on this. And when we know more, you will know more. Now, some people are asking about bingo books. Well, as I said, 14 people have lost their jobs, but the rep for the area has been delivering books today. Clearly, is only one person and cannot get to every shop in the county. So the books are being delivered, but they may not be in every shop. So that's how it stands at the moment. Unfortunately, the bingo is ending this Friday. The company says will honour the winnings up to this weekend. After that, the company's gone and we know no more.
But we will play bingo essentially until
absolutely.
This
and if the jackpot is won this week, that the winnings will be honoured this week. We can't say anything else beyond that. As I said, we don't handle the finances. This is, you know, we're the agents for this. So
all right, but we won't be bringing numbers next week.
No, we will not. We will not.
Okay, let's have a final look about what's coming in on text, Trudy.
Okay, still a lot of people in relation to the general election, our vox on whether we need it in politics in general. Barbara got in touch to say, hi Fran, this is not the Ireland I want to live in, where our older persons are cold and vulnerable, yeah, living on the streets. Next we'll have our special needs persons, people on the streets. Matt in Tiptown feels we should have an election every year. That way they don't get a chance to mess it up. My sanity, I'm sorry Matt, could not take that.
No Matt, we couldn't
at
handle it.
All. Declan got in contact to say, Fran, are you aware Brian Cowan still hasn't sat for his official Dáil photograph? Isn't that a little sad?
Well, I think he is. It's all arranged. That's for the portrait.
That is for the portrait.
Yeah, and it's arranged, I think, for this coming weekend.
Something like that.
I'm worried, yeah. I know stuff like this. But
yeah,
anyway.
So am I. But anyway, someone thinks you're naive. Yeah, Fran, I can't believe you're so naive. It's the civil servants that run the government. And then another one says, no, Fran, I don't think you're naive. No election, no change. End of Francis Fitzgerald, just like Nush. In the end, Francis Fitzgerald will be paid off, according to this caller. She feels it'll be just a similar situation to the former Garda commissioner. Tom got in contact to say, we will never have a proper government until it's compulsory to have political qualifications to be a TD. Imelda got in touch to say, hi Fran, nobody mentioned the health minister was whispering into Francis Fitzgerald's ear as she was getting lambasted by the opposition the other day. I wonder what advice he was giving her. Maybe it was something else that she'll forget, according to Imelda. Maurice McCabe for Taoiseach, no any questions. They're used to him pushing personal agendas for everything else. Not sure quite what that means. Then in relation to the Wheel of Fortune and our callers that were looking for that, John O'Brien got in touch and he says he might be able to help, so we'll put you in contact
with
the relevant even people involved in that. Margaret Whelan got in contact to say it was a great show and she's Margaret from Cashel got in touch to say it was a great show. Catherine Lowry in Killeen and Templemore thought Johnny Luby was a breath of fresh air. However, I had another caller on from Templemore who was quite irate on the phone. She said he was talking Tommy Rot and rubbish. Johnny Purcell, actually.
Oh, Johnny Purcell.
And she got quite irate and a lot of the words I cannot repeat on air. Well, Fran, great show as always, says Margaret Ryan in Cashel, and she enjoyed Johnny too. Brendan in Rossgray said that Johnny makes his week. What a tonic on a Monday. And then another, Ina in Ballymackie, got in touch to say, hi Fran and crew, you have a great programme, a variety of topics. Hope Alan Kelly stays blowing his trumpet. Well done to all involved.
All right, Trudy, thanks very much indeed for that. That's some reaction from our listeners out there. We love the way you interact with us, by the way, and you're always welcome to do so. Before I go, can I just say it was very sad to read that the actress and food writer Billy White-Lennon has passed away after a short illness. Much loved, of course, as Maggie in the Reardons all of those years ago. And the Reardons were on for more than 30 years. And, of course, more recently she was involved in the Great Irish Bake Off on TV3. But a beautiful woman, great actress and a great fun person as well. I bumped into her once many, many years ago out in Holy Cross. And she was most gracious indeed. And, of course, did adjudication for so many of the drama festivals as well. But there you go. And those of us of a certain age will remember all the controversy of the Reardons and herself and Tom Hickey in that marvellous, really, really fantastic series on RTE. And, you know, by comparison to what we have today, I think it was much better. But there you are. That's it for me. Trudy produced. Owen is on the way. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.